good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and I'm just delighted to be here. I have asked Caroline to come on the show with me today for a very special reason. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you this afternoon?
We're doing great.
Good.
In case there are people out there who did not hear our show yesterday, we had a two-hour show, and the last hour, we were inspired to talk about angels. They were gathering all around us. Not only were angels gathering around us, but there were different kinds of angels. And so last night when I was going to bed, I was thinking about that, thinking about all of the missions and the beautiful work and the beautiful different kinds of angels. Like Caroline said, all shapes, sizes, and forms. And so as I was thinking about it, I realized we needed to talk some more about angels today. They just wouldn't let me alone. And so I went to the cherubim, who are located in the center of the cosmos, and these cherubim keep all the vibrational records from all over the cosmos. And so I asked them about some of the favorite I shouldn't say favorite so much as angels that really intrigued my curiosity. And so, Caroline, you were telling me about an angel that intrigued you.
Well, yes, I was. But first I'd like to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
And that is, are the cherubim not also angels?
Indeed they are.
Well, and you said yesterday that you didn't see angels, and I thought, uh-huh. You're supposed to see an angel.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't see angels like you do.
I think you do.
You think I do?
Yeah, I think you do. I know you do, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I guess what it is, I concentrate more on hearing because I work with so many masters and people on the other side who give me information, and I think more about what I'm hearing. And I have to admit, I do see them because they always show me an image that in my third eye, and sometimes not in my third eye. I can look out and see them sometimes, but for the most part, I concentrate on hearing, and it's when I talk to you, you just seem to see things in such detail. And I guess that's why I said that, because you do see into dimensions that I'm not seeing into right now. So it's one of your great gifts to yourself, to the people that you work with healing, and to our dear friends on the radio show, to have benefit of your beautiful sight into the dimensions and into the planet, into the physical bodies.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that, and it's one of your gifts as well. You have the same gifts. You've tended to go more in the direction of writing books and articles and writing on the internet, and you are more into that area of communication, where I spend more time with the healing and don't always just, you know, look for the angels. Sometimes I'm aware when they're in the room or they're with a particular person or that sort of thing, but my concentration is on the healing rather than on going, oh, look at her, isn't she pretty? Or look at him, what does he do? I don't really go there. So the one thing that I was fascinated with was when you asked about musical angels and the angel who was playing the harp came and told me that one of the jobs of the musical angels is to help play, they play music, they help people make transitions, because sometimes, and of course other beings make transitions as well, but some beings respond to the music as much as to the light, and I was fascinated with that because I've helped a lot of folks make transitions, and I never heard music. So I was like, wait a minute. Nobody told me I could be hearing music during this. So I was fascinated with that.
Well, I did ask the cherubim about that. But before I give you their answer,
okay.
I would like to suggest to everyone who hears my voice, call in the angels. I was told to do this last night. As I'm going to sleep, I was thinking about today's show, and it was suggested to me that this ability to talk to angels, to feel the angels, to see the angels is everyone's gift, but we're not working with it. And so for those who maybe are not speaking to their angels, let us first mentally just call in these beautiful beings. They're within earshot. And as the room fills up with their presence, just try.
Don't use that word.
Okay.
Do it.
Okay, do it. Thank you for correcting me. Okay, do it. They're leaning over your shoulder. Just sense their presence. So in the very beginning, if you're not seeing them and you're not hearing them, then sense their presence next to you. So call them in. Caroline,
yes,
are you calling them in, dear?
Oh, they're already here.
I figured. I felt this little nudge. And so this is what I want everyone to do, to hopefully feel that little nudge over your shoulder and know this is really them. They're really there. And so as you're enjoying this sweet, gentle presence, I'm going to comment on the musical angels that Caroline was talking about. The cherubim tell me that there's two types of musical angels, that there is one group that's part of the inspirational group that inspires humans in the bringing down of divine music to humanity. And you know the kind of music that we're talking about. When you hear the great masters play some of this incredibly beautiful music, you just know that it's divinely inspired. And so the cherubim say that part of this musical group of angels that Caroline is referring to are those divine messengers who have stood behind the shoulders of these great musicians and composers and have nudged them along to bring this harmony of peace and beauty into the world. Now, there's another group of angels that work with music, and these are the angels who help humanity transition between and among the dimensions. And they sing. They're the celestial voices of the cosmos. And one of the things that the cherubim said is they're related to the cherubs. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the cherubs. If you didn't hear the show yesterday, you will know I was just enthralled with these dear little cherubs. And so they're related to the cherubs, and in the beginning, it is the cherubs who help bring the souls into physical form so they can integrate into their biology with their mother. And this other group who are musicians and who sing to the angels, also related to the cherubim, are those angels that help humanity transfer from the physical form, when they leave the physical form, going into the higher realms above our earth. Interesting, isn't it, Caroline?
Yes, it is. It's fascinating how, well, I knew they had all different sorts of occupations, if you want to put it that way. that's probably the easiest way to explain it, but I hadn't really thought about, you know, how they, like the musical ones, how they have different responsibilities within that group of angels. So that's really fascinating to hear.
So I guess in a sense you might say we're all angels in training.
Absolutely.
Check your wings on the back. Are you growing them or what?
Exactly. Well, we were all created as angels originally.
Isn't it beautiful?
Mm-hmm, it is. So some of us chose to leave our wings behind and come here.
Oh, mercy. I hope I find them soon.
And we left our halos, too. And
mine got a little banged up and tarnished on the trip here, I think. Anyway, I would like to invite those who are out there listening to our voices, call in with your angel stories. The phone number here is 877-876-5227. Or if you wish to have a healing with Caroline or know a little bit about your own Akashic records from the cherubim, you can call in also and ask those questions. The Canadian folks, their number is 888-810-8322. Golly, time flies. We're almost down to the quarter of the hour.
I know. That's okay. I think we, you know, what else did you find out about the cherubs?
Oh, I just loved the cherubs. I think it's because I just love little infants. They are just so beautiful. They just hold my heart. And I could see these little cherubs coming down with the newborn infants, and I was so enthralled with that. And so when we discussed this yesterday, I thought, I've got to find out more about these little cherubs. And so this is what the cherubim said. Cherubs follow the soul as it enters the physical body, which is usually in the womb of the mother. And this is interesting, Caroline. They said sometimes souls do not enter the physical until immediately after the baby is born, but that's not the usual process.
I knew that because I've seen the infants in the womb both ways, when the soul's been in there and when the soul hadn't been there yet. So I knew that part.
Oh, so okay, it's hello, are you there yet?
Right.
And so the cherubim talk about this adjustment period, that there is a great adjustment period that goes on between the soul and the physical body as it integrates. And therefore, a newborn sleeps for long periods as this integration begins. And so while the soul comes, this newborn, when the soul comes down to this newborn, the cherub follows them and stays with them until that integration process is complete. And I love this. They said the cherubims are innocent angels and a class or choir of themselves. Their specific job is to keep the soul's company, and they remind them of their home in the spiritual realm. And I think you know this too, Caroline. This world of sensation is a new world to souls, as well as the emotional currents. Noise seems strange to newborns, and unaccustomed sounds startle them. You know, we've seen that with newborns, and I'm sure you have too, how a noise here, an unexpected noise in particular, startles a newborn.
Yes.
And so they continue, and they talk about these souls. When they were in spirit, they left a world of melodic sounds and seems like music, but our sounds here on this plane seem so mechanical, and so the cherubs sing to them. It is what brings peace and harmony to these newborns, except for the love that you give to them. Newborns do find love on your plane, but not continually. So this is the mission of the cherubs. As soon as the soul is integrated into the physical, which is usually about 3 months, the cherubs gradually leave them to be replaced by other angels who nurture them.
So it's at the 3-month point, apparently, that the cherub leaves. Is that you're
saying? Well,
it
says gradually. What they're saying is that it takes 3 months for the soul to be integrated with the body. I guess, you know, some a little more or less. And that the cherubs gradually leave to be replaced by other angels who nurture them.
Cool.
It just seemed like such a beautiful process.
It is. It makes the whole process much more understandable and much more loving than, you know, than you sometimes realize that it is.
Yes.
I'm sure my son didn't appreciate it when I used to push his belly button to make sure he's still breathing.
Oh, my goodness.
Up until 3 months. Well, you know, it's my first child, and I was scared to death he quit breathing, and I wouldn't know it, so I'd check on him about every 30 minutes and push his belly button to make sure he's breathing.
Oh, so he had a little side on his little sign on his tummy. Push here.
Push here. And I wonder what the cherubs thought. What is she doing?
She must have thought that was a turn on button.
Exactly. And I guess, you know, I hope that my love was flowing through his belly button. But I would just be like, I'd stand there and look at him if I didn't see him breathe. And I would push him to make sure he's breathing. Come on, breathe, breathe.
So what was his first words, Caroline? Lay off, Mom.
No, I'm afraid not. Actually, his first word was bike, which is a hoot, considering the fact that he was a professional cyclist and now coaches cyclist. That was his first word, bike.
That's very strange.
Isn't that something?
It's very strange.
You know, he came in remembering what he was coming here to do.
You know, that could be.
Yeah. And now I realize that. I didn't then, of course. But
now, I wanted to talk a little bit more about another group of angels, because I didn't realize there were angels to help us with this. And, you know, Caroline, what we talked about yesterday is the angels do not come into our life and work with us unless we ask them.
Right.
And it's because this is a world of free will. And that's another reason why I wanted to do the show today on angels. And I wanted you to be here with me, because I think this could help make people more aware of the fact that they have so much help, but it can't come to them until and unless we ask for it. And so that's why I'm talking about this. Now, this group are angels who bring us strength and determination when we wish to accomplish a goal. And I was intrigued with this.
And they also bring us inspiration when we have a goal to achieve.
Mm-hmm. When they showed them to me, I was intrigued with this. I'm sure this is not the way they look, but they give us these little pictures so we understand their intent. And when boxers, I guess maybe other people have it too, but I just recall boxers winning the championship and they get this belt denoting the fact that they're the champion. I saw this angel holding a belt like that.
Yes, that's interesting.
Yes, and see, that really was the essence of how they're working to help us overcome, to stay with the goal until we become the champ, until we become the top of our game. And this particular angel was not as lighthearted, I would say, as some of the other ones were. They were a little bit more serious, because it seemed like they were more intent on helping to helping us to manifest what we were trying to accomplish.
Yes, they were very determined.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Now, this is interesting. I think you'll find this interesting. The cherubim said, "This again is another choir or separate designation of angels. They are a part of the warrior band of angels, though they do not do battle with the darker situations on your planet. They work with individuals and have great experience. They work with a thought process that encourages people, but they also know how to work with the physical. You hear of people accomplishing amazing feats to help others, and it was probably these angels who worked with the adrenaline system to give the physical a great energy boost."
Oh, interesting, like the times when somebody picks up a car and gets somebody out from under it.
Interesting that you should say that, because I was thinking of that that same example. There was another example that came to mind, too, and that was where a garage door had suddenly come down and fallen on a child, and the mother was aware of it and picked up the door to free her son.
Right. Yes, I remember that happening. How about that?
Yes. Just fascinating, I think. Anyway, friends, give us a call with your angel stories, or perhaps you have a question about a particular angel that maybe we can get some information about it for you. Our phone number here is 877-876-5227.
Now, Carolyn, if you, now that you're aware that there is an angel who can help you with a particular circumstance, okay, or a particular problem that you have, you need to call that type of angel in.
Oh, I've already given them a name.
Okay, and I was going to say, what's the name for this?
My diet angel.
Yours is a diet angel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've already laid it out. What foods I want to eat and help prompt me to complete this. So I got a diet angel now.
Oh, for goodness sakes, I love it.
Well, you know, there might be people out there who want to quit smoking.
Right.
Well, here's the guy. Give him a call.
Well, call in the, I wonder how you'd say that. Call in the anti-smoking angel?
Well, I don't know. I guess, you know, people are going to have to be a little creative as to what you're going to call them. But I'm sure this fellow knows, and I did see this as a masculine angel and not as a feminine, though we know they're androgynous. But
right.
They were showing me the masculine side of their energy.
Okay, that's what I was seeing that too, that it was more that their strength and determination, which we in this physical form usually identify with masculine, is one of the qualities that you really feel and see in them, is their strength and their determination to do a particular thing. I'm wondering if you could call in, if there's an angel that you could call in if you're going through a separation and divorce, because those can be pretty crisis-ridden.
I really do believe so, Caroline. It just seems like there is help on the other side for all kinds of events, and if an angel does not cover that particular crisis, I know that there are guides that do.
Right.
I mean, you and probably most of the audience are aware that my son died when he was 16 in an automobile accident, and it's a very devastating time for a person to lose a child, whether it's in an automobile accident or whether it's in the war in the Middle East. And I was going through a very fragile time, and I could even then hear people, and there was a person who was a guide. Now, she was a human being at one time who died, and what her job was to work with people when they were under and with great sorrow. And so she came to me, and she spoke to me to comfort me at my son's loss. And she said she was on her way to Canada to work with a child who was recently orphaned. And this was her job, comforting people under different situations. And she wasn't going to be with me long. She let me know that she was just coming through because she became aware of me and the pain I was suffering. And so she spoke with me for a while and stayed with me for a couple days, and then went on to this young man, a young child in Canada. And so, yes, I believe, Caroline, in answer to your question, no matter what a person's needs and desires and hopes or where they need some assistance with some great sorrow that they're carrying, that there is help, whether it be from the angelic realms, whether it be a guide on the other side who is training and working with humanity, whether it is a master themselves from the higher realms that you call down. We are never alone, Caroline, never.
No, we aren't. I'll tell you something that happened one time when my daughter was going through a traumatic event, and she called me up, and she was very concerned about what was going on. And, of course, I got off the phone and immediately called. I just, put out this really broad call. I said, calling all angels who can go and help my daughter right now, show up. Well, within about 5 minutes, the phone rang, and my daughter said, Mother, that's enough already. Would you call off all the angels?
I love it.
She said, there's so many in the apartment, I can't move. I just hooted. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overwhelm you. And I said, I'm sure the angels didn't mean to overwhelm me, but I just said, calling all angels that can help my daughter right now. And she said, well, they're all here.
Caroline, you're not usually on my Sunday show, and we might have a whole different group of listeners, and they might not be aware that you can see into the physical body and work with God to help heal. And so while we're talking about that, why don't you give our audience a little idea as to how you work and what your phone number is?
Okay, I'll be happy to. I am called the healer because of the fact that I watch God heal, and I'm the witness to the healing. I can see inside of the physical body and see what's going on, what maybe needs to be corrected or adjusted or whatever, and God does the work, and then I explain the work to whoever I'm working with. I am a Reiki master and an ordained minister, and I also do this healing work, and which I call healing with God's love, because that is what it's about, is healing with God's love and light and energy. And I do work on the telephone. I do have people who come to my home, but mostly I work on the telephone. So you can call me at 540-586-2401, and I do work Monday through Friday from 9 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, and then from 4 to 5 I reserve for emergency situations with past clients or new clients, either one, because I do usually work about 2 weeks out in terms of appointments. So, I have worked on Carolyn quite often, which is how she got to know what I do.
Indeed. We've known each other for some time, and probably many lifetimes, Caroline.
Exactly. Probably many lifetimes.
Yes, and I would like to suggest also that people go to my website, CarolynEvers.com, because there is a work that I call Journey to the Other Side. And these are masters who have come and they're giving information that I have to say is new information. Please look into that. If you decide that you want to... Hello?
Hello there.
Your name?
I'm Heather, calling from Toronto.
Hi, Heather. Oh, we got a Canadian friend.
Good. Is it snowing in Canada? Actually, there's not much snow. We've had a very mild winter so far.
Oh, we're getting our first snow down here on the East Coast. It's kind of exciting. It's not much, but it's a little bit.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, Heather, what can we do for you?
Well, I understand you talk to angels.
Well, yes.
And do you?
I do. I'm an angel lady.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, good. That's awesome. And how do you, and when do you talk to the angels?
Believe it or not, they talk to me all the time. They do it through numbers. They do it through, I tell them I need them to deal with certain things. That's not always accurate. If I tell them I need something done now, they don't always do it the way I want it done, but I understand that they're there to protect me.
Yeah. That's true.
I see triple numbers, 111, 222, 333, 444. It's hilarious now. I just giggle.
And how do you interpret these numbers?
Well, I have gone to a site, and the numbers do say there's certain things about the numbers. Like January the 1st, that 11-11, that was 1-1-11-11. I mean, to me, that was a definite miracle moment, so I made a wish. How do I interpret them? Well, I believe each number does have a portal reason, and right now it's like my whole life is going through something because I'm seeing 333, 444, 555, all sorts of triple numbers, double numbers.
That's fascinating.
It's very fascinating. I mean, I go out online and or I look at my computer time and 111 or 222, 333, and I giggle because I know they're trying to tell me something. I just don't always know what it is. I do believe it's a major change, though.
Oh, that's awesome. I have the same thing happen. I'm always amazed if I look at the clock, if I wake up in the night, it'll be 2:22 or 3:33. And I'm kind of like you. I kind of giggle and think, okay, I'm coming back to bed.
Yeah, I find it amazing. Now, what does that mean to you? How do you interpret that?
Before we get to that interpretation, I would like to know if you have always seen these numbers or if this is something that just started.
You know, to be honest with you, more so now. I've known that one can see double and triple numbers. I know of portal numbers. I know that they can have a meaning, but I would say more in the last month or two.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It can also signify an awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can. Carolyn, I think that's...
Well, I'll see what I can find out about that, but the first thing that strikes me is... I think this is more than numbers. Everything is related in life, in creation, whether it is mathematics. If we think of mathematics in general, there is a correlation between mathematics, between music, between sacred geometry, among language. And so the entire cosmos is related somehow to proportions, the sacred mean, just the entire way that the cosmos is created. There isn't anything that we can look at that isn't somehow related to mathematics in some sort. And so I think the way it strikes me is that, and this is a personal thing, that the numbers are there to attune you to the fact that we are going beyond our small world, so to speak, and our horizon is suddenly becoming much greater because of all of these energies that are coming into our planet right now. So yes, it is awakening, Heather. It is a definite awakening. And the spiritual hierarchy, those that are working with you, your guides, they're getting your attention to the fact that not only is there something coming, but it is something much wider, a greater expanse than what we as humans are accustomed to working with. That's why I asked you how long you have noticed this. So in a sense, you've always had that intuitive connection to numbers, but these patterns seem to be surfacing more within the last 2 months, and I think that that is very telling. That's very telling to this new creative energy that is coming in. But that being said, what I'll do is I'll take a moment and see if there is more information that the cherubim wish to reveal to us. And so it takes a minute for me to connect, if you don't mind being patient and just waiting.
No, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. They're saying that this is the sign of God's creative force coming to this area of the universe at this moment. That this force, they're calling it this energy, not your numbers, but the energy, this force. The Eye of Isis, it is a creative force that moves throughout the cosmos, and part of it, not all of it, but part of it is now being directed to this planetary sphere. And what is being shown to you, and they're showing me an eye, and it is that all-knowing eye. They're relating it to what you would call the third eye, and what they're saying is that this energy is being shown to you in the form of numbers, but it is relating to the opening of your third eye. And they're also suggesting that you meditate upon this, that there is clearing that you need to do with the physical body, and either clear it yourself or work with another energy worker. We have one on our show, if that's so, if you're so inclined to that. But to work on clearing the energy because you are ready to walk through that portal.
Can I ask a question related to the energy?
Well, we'll see what you can ask. We'll see what we can get. You have to understand, Heather, we ask, all information is not available because it's not its time to be revealed. And so the only thing that is revealed is what whose time is to be known. So certainly ask your question, but I suspect the reason I was hedging is I suspect that this might be a question that we can't go into. But tell me what you had in mind.
I have a high-pitched buzzing sound in my ears, and it comes and goes. And to me, someone is from a positive source, because I only accept positive, is downloading information into me.
It could be. There's two ways that I know of that information is downloaded. One is through the ear in that fashion. Another is through the eye. It comes over the third eye. Appears to be a series of dots and dashes. Have you seen that?
No. I get it more through the ear.
Mm-hmm. Well, information is downloaded from on high through those two methods. Now, there is another thing that occurs when you have a high-pitched buzzing in your ear. And that, again, is opening a veil that other mystics have spoken about. What you might want to do is do a little research on the Internet of stories that other mystics speak about, because it This happens, too, when you're opening up the inner to advanced abilities, and that would be things like bilocating, opening of the kundalini. I would do a little, there's a lot, well, I wouldn't say a lot, but there is information from those mystics who were early writers in the Catholic Church. They spoke of that. And then there is also information from other modalities. But we'll take a minute. We'll see if the cherubim wish to give us more than that. They're showing me a pathway, and it looks like if you could envision a mountain or a very high hill that you have journeyed on this path. And I suspect that, is this a fair thing to say to you, Heather, that you really have worked in the spiritual, with your spiritual gifts, you're a seeker? Is that fair to say?
I have, but I've also felt that they haven't listened to me when I've requested and asked for some guidance. So at times I tend to veer from the path.
Well, they're showing me this, what looks like a mountain, and you're not the only soul on this trail. It's like a trail that is going up this mountain, and there is a fork in the road. There is a path that goes straight up the mountain, and that is starting to become steeper. It's becoming more difficult. And then there is another path that it almost looks like a Y, so to speak, where somebody can take that path, and it's a little bit easier. They're not going up this straight slope, which has some difficulty getting to the top. And I have to say, though, that at the top, I see this incredibly beautiful white light. This is your goal. But you're standing at this fork, and you're deciding which way you're going to go. Does that answer your question, Heather?
Oh, yeah. I believe there is a lot of choices in life, and I believe that sometimes I feel that the spiritual path is not an easy one to take. I find that family do not understand the gifts, so sometimes they think you're crazy. they don't understand the empathicness. They don't understand the clairvoyant, the clairsentient aspect. So therefore, I find that it's not easy to be who I am.
Absolutely.
Do you understand what I mean?
But Heather, mm-hmm. You are being called to step into your mastery. There's the call. And there's the choice.
And both Carolyn and I have been through that also, with making the choices to stay true to who you are and being on your path when you know you're doing that which is going to bring you joy. And you just have to sometimes take what's not the easiest course in order that you get where you need to be. I found that some of my friends and family just won't. We're fine as long as I don't talk about it, but they don't want to hear anything about what I do or how I do it or anything. They're not at the same point that I am, and I honor the fact that they are not at the same place I am. I know they'll get there, but they're not there now, and so I don't make any kind of attempts to convert them, if you will, or change their path, because they each have their own paths to go down, too. And, I think we need to be more conscious of honoring and respecting each other and knowing that we're all on the same path, but
we aren't all going at the same speed.
Yeah, at the same speed, or it's kind of like you could, I can see the path as hundreds and hundreds of different paths side by side, and some of them go up and down, and some of them have rocks in the road, and some of them are pretty smooth sailing, and some of them are pretty much straight up the mountain. Each of us chooses whichever way is the most appropriate for our soul's purpose.
Why is it such a lonely path to be on?
Why
yes, it is.
Is it lonely?
Yeah, it is. I think, Caroline, I think you're going to disagree with that, but there are moments.
Oh, I do.
Huh?
I actually agree with you. I think
good. Because there are moments when you're in this journey that you feel alone and you do feel lonely. And it's one of the reasons why we're talking about angels today, that we have so much to be thankful for and to ask for help. But I would say, Heather, one of the greatest things that you could do for yourself is to try and connect with people of like mind and do some networking with them. My relationship with Caroline and others that that I have become involved with is I have to tell you, it is such a great joy to my heart because it gives you great encouragement. So seek out some like minds.
The church that I belong to is probably 25 to 30 miles away, and I'm on the opposite end of the city, so I find it very difficult to get there. So therefore, I feel isolated from that, too.
If you find that with your church, that's wonderful. I haven't found people who understand the kind of work I do and the experiences that I have with the church. I have had to associate myself more with what I would call mystical people, people who have had the kinds of experiences that we talk about. And there are a dedicated group of these.
I had a situation happen where I was given a message in a spiritualist church, and the person that gave me the message said, "You're going to be working with aliens." And I thought, wow, that's a really weird message, you know. And it happened that I had a dream, and in the dream I was being chased by aliens. And when I woke up, my left arm was absolutely weak. And I looked on my left arm, I can't remember if it was left or right, it might have been the right arm, and there was three dots, and they were over my vein, like I had been injected or something. Then my arm was very weak. I ended up seeing a doctor for something, and she looked and she said, "That is very strange." She said, "We need to keep an eye on that." And then the dots fell off.
You know what you might do? There is a show, ET Healing, on the network. There's two ET shows. Check them out. Listen to them. You might find something there that would be of great assistance to you.
Well, they told me they weren't going to hurt me, but I was not talking too nicely to them. I was not receptive to whatever it was they were trying to do to me.
Well, and that's why you had the dream that you had, because what comes up in dreams is what you can't face in our consciousness, so they come through the back door, through the unconsciousness. But Heather, I think if you listen to that show, ET Healing,
when is it on?
You have to look on the calendar. If you go on BBS index page, just look down there, ET Healing, you'll see it.
Okay, very good.
Good hearing from you, Heather. Listen,
thank you.
Call in. We'd be glad to have you come and tell us how things work out.
Thank you kindly.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
I'm trying to... Oh, was there something you wanted to say about that, Caroline, or should I go to the next group of angels?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I think it is hard when you first get started on the path to to connect with people and to find people that are also on the path and who can help you sort of sort through what you're hearing and seeing and feeling. And I feel I was very blessed because there's somebody who was a good friend of mine who was going through what I was, so I had somebody to share my experiences with. But I also found, Carolyn, that most of the people I share my experiences with, I do through the telephone. It's not my next-door neighbors or that sort of thing. It's more...
I have found that to be the case with me, too.
You know, and I think, yeah, you found that, too, and that's kind of why we found each other.
Mm-hmm.
You keep, you know, connecting with people until you find somebody who has... maybe who's at about the same point that you are,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got somebody with whom you can discuss things.
Well, I have found a lot of these people in some of the sacred journeys that I have taken.
Right.
Working with the masters, doing service for the planet. It was one of the reasons why we answered Archangel Michael's call for the cruise. Because outside of the work that you do, there is this great companionship with like minds, and you're able to talk to them, share stories, and work with them.
Right.
And, yeah, I think this is so important. People who are developing, who are starting to find their gifts, you're not going to find them, and you're not going to find companionship in conventional methods.
No, I don't think you are either. I think you have to. You really have to almost sort of seek that sort of thing out. We have something called the Green Pages. Have you ever seen a catalog called the Green Pages?
No.
Well, I know that they exist in other places, but the Green Pages basically list people who are Reiki practitioners,
mm-hmm.
or who are energy workers in some way, people who teach Tai Chi, Qigong. They're just, there's a big network of all of those people, all of whom are on some variety of a spiritual path, and by connecting with those people, you can then start connecting with other people. So I think you have to somehow find that kind of, you have to look for that kind of connection. And also, you just have to say in your prayer work that you're ready for your next teacher to show up.
Amen to that. We all have teachers, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Before we go, Caroline, I want to talk real quick about
okay.
another group of angels, and
okay.
then we'll give your telephone number again and my webpage, because I do think both of those are very important. They told me, the cherubim told me that there is a group of angels whose sole function is to praise Source, or all there is. And, of course, we know them as the cherubim. But they told me something fascinating about this group of angels. And what the cherubim said is, you already know of the seraphim, of course, and they are the closest band next to Source. They are somewhat like a mirror, and reflect love back to the Creator as the Creator's love is sent forth to their creation. And this was the sentence that I thought so fascinating. This reflection replenishes that love force so that it never diminishes. So Source, or the Creator, is sending that love out. The seraphim are reflecting it back, and it replenishes the love force so that that the Creator's love never diminishes. And they added that the seraphim fill a great role of service to the world and all creation.
Absolutely.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is. That's fascinating.
So, Caroline, real quick, dear, give everyone your phone number.
Okay. My phone number is 540-586-2401.
And my webpage, what'd you say?
I said, and Carolyn, yours is?
My webpage is CarolynEvers.com, and that's CarolynEvers, Evers, EVERS.com. Do go and see about Journey to the Other Side and all the other wonderful books that have been given to me by the Masters. And so until the next time, Caroline, this was just delightful.
It was. Thank you very much for inviting me to come on today. I enjoyed it.
I did too. Bye.
Bye, everybody. God bless you.